from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 271, recorded live Thursday, June 16th, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with open source developer Frederick Holmstrom about IronJS.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today we're talking actually to Frederick Holmstrom, who is actually in Gothenburg, Sweden. He works on IronJS. It's an open source project and it's an implementation of JavaScript, but it's written in .NET. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
Thanks.
So you had, this is a complete implementation of JavaScript. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. As close as possible, it follows the ECMAScript specification to the letter. It's a full implementation, yeah.
So I could use the, would I use this to power a browser, or would I use this as a scripting language? Why does something like this exist?
I mean, I built it originally because, well, this is going to be a little story. I was building my own, like, you know, the whole NoSQL database train, or the, I got on that. So I was working to build my own database. I needed a sort of like a query language. I began in the completely wrong end of... I started with the querying and the network interface for some reason, so I was playing around with that, and I wanted a query language. And I've been looking at CouchDB and a couple of other, and, you know, it's the whole JSON JavaScript pretty much everywhere. So I decided that I'd use JavaScript as a query language. So I was looking around, and I found the JScript engine, which is sort of like, that's available in, I think, .NET 3.5, but I think they cut it in 4.0. I'm not quite sure. But it wasn't up to the task, and it's quite slow. So I decided to write my own. It turns out that writing IronJS was a lot more fun than writing the database. Sorry. So I scrapped the database project and started working on IronJS full-time. That's basically my motivation, my original motivation for building it, at least.
You say full-time. Is this something you do as your job, or is this like your full-time hobby?
Full-time hobby, yeah. No, I wish I could do it as a job, but sadly not.
Was there already an Iron something? I mean, do you have to ask somebody to become an Iron something? Because there's Iron Python and there's Iron Ruby, or is it just that you were the first that decided that you would be built on the DLR so that name made sense?
There was one other version using the DLR a while back. There's a couple of other also available on .NET, but they're not using the DLR. But, I mean, the name IronJS for me seemed obvious, so I was looking around on the internet to see. I mean, it was free, so I decided to take it, and no one complained, so.
What kind of things would someone use this for? I mean, what would the listener say, oh, great, there's a JavaScript for .NET, I can use it to do this?
Like, for example, like my original motivation for building it was that I needed a query language for an application. Anything you'd need to script or like have your users be able to script your application or stuff like that, you could use this and hook it into your whatever you have running, like WinForms or WPF app or something, or like a game, or if you want to, I mean, everyone knows about Node.js today, and like the whole, like if you would want to build something like that, you could do that also. So, I mean, you could apply it basically anywhere you'd want a programming language that you can control the environment of.
So you bring up an interesting question there, the idea of Node.js. Do you think that Microsoft and the Microsoft kind of open source ecosystem needs an implementation of Node, or maybe not Node, but some kind of JavaScript on the server?
I have to say no, because... I personally like JavaScript as a language, and I mean it's an okay language, but I'm personally not convinced of the of how valid it is having it run on the server. Just because, and I mean the Microsoft ecosystem is so, I mean it's huge. I mean you have C Sharp, F Sharp, and like everything there, and they pretty much cover everything you could possibly do with JavaScript. I mean, yes, I mean the language isn't the same and it looks a bit different, but like in general, like everything you could possibly hope to do already exists in one way or the other to the .NET framework or Microsoft ecosystem. So I personally, I'm not convinced that building like Node.js.NET on IronJS, for example, is the right way to go about it. I'd rather see something like a C-sharp version or a F-sharp version using the async workflows from F-sharp or something like that for building asynchronous services and stuff instead of focusing on the JavaScript part of it.
See, that's really interesting because I assume that as someone who is writing a compiler effectively, you know, you're in a parser and a lexer and all of this stuff, you're doing a lot of work where you now probably understand the JavaScript language a lot more than most people. I think it'd be fair to say, right? If you implement a language, it tends to get you deep into the language. So I find it interesting that someone who knows the language so well says that, you know, we really don't need that language on the server side. I think that's kind of interesting.
I mean, like, of course I would like, I would love someone to build this with IronJS or that with IronJS. But, I mean, you also have to be, like, realistic. And, I mean, like, I personally, I'm not convinced that that's a good way to go. Because, for example, like, F-sharp, and my favorite language, if you take F-sharp, it's so much more well-suited to doing what Node.js does than what Node.js is or JavaScript as a language is. Like how clean the code gets and everything. Like I like the idea of Node.js, but I don't like the language itself in that context because it becomes awkward and you have to do the manual CPS continuation passing manually basically, and it's I'm not convinced.
Interesting. So what kind of things is JavaScript suited for? I mean, do you think it's just an interesting language for DOM manipulation, and that's about it?
I mean, in the browser, obviously, it has its place in the browser. There's been a lot of talk about if it would be possible to... I mean, you have, like, CoffeeScript and stuff like that that's compiling down to JavaScript nowadays, and there's another couple of small languages that does the same thing. But JavaScript as a language, I think... I don't know, like, honestly, and this is kind of sound awkward coming from someone who's built a JavaScript runtime, but, I mean, I'm not convinced that how of the language, like, it has a broad, what do you want to call it in English, like it's available everywhere, like, on all the browsers, all the platforms, everywhere, but
ubiquitous.
The language itself does not hold any major merit, in my point of view. Especially after building an implementation of it, you know all the idiosyncrasies and all the weird and stupid stuff in it.
That's very interesting because I think that the ubiquity, right, the fact that it's available everywhere, is certainly its strength, but it's one of those things where it's available everywhere, but it's also insane, but we tolerate it. And lately, I've been seeing a lot of talks, a lot of presentations with people saying, yeah, JavaScript is great, JavaScript is fun, and here's the totally weird stuff where, you know, null is equal to false or, you know, whatever kind of weird stuff that people are whatever weird language design things that happened organically that people bring up. And then they kind of laugh about it. But again, then they say, well, but it's available everywhere, so these are funny. You know, it's kind of like that crazy uncle. You know, JavaScript is that crazy uncle that we all have, but we have to, you know, he's our uncle. What are we going to do? He's always there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like, and then you have, like, the whole, like, I'm not going to start bashing JavaScript too much, but a major part of the problem for me, I mean, you have all the idiosyncrasies and all the really weird stuff, like the no is true and stuff like that. Big part for me is that there is no way to organize your code in JavaScript. There's no built in the language. There's no module system. There's no namespacing. No nothing. It's just a global free for all, basically. And that's which is the major problem for me, at least, coming from like C#, F#, or even Python or Ruby. There's some kind of organizational scheme in place there. In JavaScript, there's just like you have the global object, which people can do whatever they want to. That's not a model that's at least for me, it's not something that could... like, if you're going to build something huge and complex, it's not good enough.
What do you think about the other languages, the other Iron languages? Not about the languages themselves, Iron Ruby and Iron Python, But the fact that they exist and what the community support around them is.
I mean, I think it's great. And I mean, personally, like the way I learned, I mean, if you're just looking from my point of view, the way I learned DLR was basically reading the Iron Python source code, top to bottom, pretty much. I mean, I think it's great. And also you have JRuby, and I think it's called Chiton, the one that runs on the JVM. Yeah. For Python. I mean, and they push, they push the boundaries of those languages, in terms of like, for example, you can get threading in, JRuby and Iron Ruby and et cetera. So I think it's good for the language and the community as a whole to have those other implementations available, even though they might not be, become the canonical one, or doubt they ever will, but it's,
So you're saying that just because that they're not perfect implementations, that the fact that they exist still is important?
Yeah. For example, I read a thread on Reddit a couple of days back. So like there exists like, I don't know how many C++ compilers. People are saying like, why don't we just have one of them or one of this, like one that's the best. But the problem is like, that's not really something you can apply, and what's best is different for different type of people. Like if you're going to use Python or Ruby and you actually need threading, like you have to have it, then you can run Iron Python or Jython and you'll actually have a real threading instead of the sort of half-baked green threads or whatever it's called on Ruby and stuff like that. So I mean, it's I think it's good for the language as a whole. Yeah.
Have you worked with the other Iron folk, the other Iron people, the other Iron folks, and talked about the DLR or found any issues in the DLR itself? The DLR, of course, being the dynamic language runtime.
I mean, especially through the DLR forums on dlr.codeplex.com, I got into contact with a couple of people who built the DLR. Bill Childs, for example, helped a lot, especially in the early stages of building IronJS back in, say this is January 2010, so about a year and a half ago. There's pretty much no documentation available for the DLR except for a demo language and a technical specification, or like what do you want to call it. And then when you're actually starting to build something, there's a million questions, and those guys really helped me out. Yeah, they know who they are.
What is the difference between is there like a DLR that's inside of .NET that ships with .NET, and then there's ongoing work, or did you just use the one that came in .NET 4?
I mean, IronJS uses the one that came in .NET 4, but if you want to run IronJS on .NET 3.5 or 3.0 or 2.0, you have to use the one that's available from CodePlex and compile it separately. IronJS ships with all the DLLs and everything. So, but the main branch is targeted for 4.0, and that's where we do all the bulk of our development. And then we backport whatever we need to make it run on 2.0 to 3.5. Also, but that requires the extra DLLs you get from CodePlex, basically.
And does that mean that you have a newer version of the DLR if I want to implement IronJS in my application?
Well, if you're using 4.0, it's going to be the DLR that shipped with 4.0.
I see.
But if you're using 3.5, 3.0, or 2.0, it's going to be the DLLs that are available
I see.
Whenever we grabbed them the last time, basically.
Okay, so then I guess my question, which is probably more subtle than I wanted it to be, was there's nothing blocking in the DLR implementation that shipped with 4.0. There's nothing. There's no bug that's so awful that you couldn't do.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, it's built, it's targeted at the DLR in 4.0, and that's what we're working at. I think there was one issue where there was a feature that had changed or something that we had to patch and fix. But in general, it's been working flawlessly.
Very cool. Very cool. That's comforting. How much, whenever I hear about someone writing a language implementation, I always get back to like when we did this in computer science. Did you go to university and implement parsers and lexers and things?
No, I'm one of those I barely finished high school, pretty much, and then I've been programming since I was like 10, 11 or something, and I don't know, around 5, 6, 7 years ago. I started reading about implementing languages, and then I learned it as I went along, building a little DSL here, building a little parser there, you know, like for small stuff, and then it all culminated in RNJS.
Okay, I think that the word for that is unnatural. I think if you're writing your own language implementation and you haven't gone to university, you're a natural. What did you have to do as far as like computer science research? I guess I want to understand that. I always thought of it as being an extremely complicated thing. You know, I remember when I was doing this in college, it always seemed like the most impressive thing. You know, people dragging buttons around and making UIs was interesting, but you know, it was always either the guy working on the kernel, you know, doing something low level like a driver, or it's the person who's implementing their own language that really always blew my mind. Did you have to do any research on the correct structure, the kind of the classic science behind, you know, building an abstract syntax tree, or did you just look to the existing implementations for your help?
I mean, I don't know how many books I read in total. I think it's about 6 or 7 books, like, you know, like thick, like, tomes basically on everything from like lexing, parsing, like compiler implementation, stuff like that. I think I read about 7 books in total. And it's funny that you say that in a university or college, like, because I was a complete opposite. Like whenever anyone wanted to sort of like, you know, build a GUI or build this or that, it's like it's boring. I preferred the like low level stuff that it's like just the black and white. Like there's no UI, no nothing. It's just like console output, and that's it.
So that's what you just dig. You're built in that way.
Yeah, I mean that's what I prefer to work with. Like no graphics or anything, just like console UI, like building libraries and languages and stuff like that.
This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Careers 2.0. Careers 2.0 is a new service by our friends at Stack Overflow. You're probably all familiar with Stack Overflow, the online Q&A resource dedicated specifically to programmers and programming-related topics. Well, the team at Stack Overflow created Careers 2.0 to provide you with access to great jobs and introduce you to a bunch of great companies that you might consider working for, even if you're not currently looking for a job. Think of Careers 2.0 as a programmer profile. It gives you a platform to show that you're awesome by featuring your proudest contributions to Stack Overflow, GitHub, SourceForge, Bitbucket, anything programming related. You can even add your favorite programming books from Amazon.com. Profiles on Careers 2.0 are free. They're easy to get started, especially by importing your LinkedIn profile. However, there's one catch. Profiles on Career 2.0 are invite only. They did this to keep out the spam and have a high quality environment. Fortunately for you, as a Hansel Minutes listener, I've got your back. Head on over to careers.stackoverflow.com/HM to accept your invitation today. Once again, that's careers.stackoverflow.com/HM. I hope you like it. Can you walk us a little bit through the structure, like what's actually involved in this? You know, you have a text file with like foo.js. Do you have to do the parsing? What is available to you as a language service? You know, what do you do and what do they do, I guess, is my question. If you start
from
like...
what the DLR does and what I do. Basically.
Yeah, all the way from the point where someone opens this file up and starts looking at the, you know, the byte by byte. How does that process work?
I mean, basically, the first thing I do is you read the file into RNJS, or RNJS reads the file into its compiler. There's a little excerpt that basically splits the file up into tokens. It's called a stream of tokens or stream of lexemes. Basically just keywords and numbers and, you know, like the building blocks, basically. There's no pattern or syntax yet. It's just like the building blocks lined up.
Did you have to write the parser?
Yeah, that's handwritten in F#, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much everything RNJS does is handwritten in F#. There's no, like, auto-generated stuff.
So I want to make sure that people understood this, because my mind was just blown. Most of RNJS is actually written in F#, not C#, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, there's only, I mean, the unit tests and stuff are written in C#, but everything is written in F#, yes.
Wow. That's cool. And do you think F sharp is, I know I'm going a little bit of a tangent, but F sharp is well suited for doing this kind of work, for language work?
I mean, that's the reason I picked F sharp. First of all, I wanted to learn the language. Also, I dabbled in F sharp before I started IronJS, but I hadn't actually built anything major in it. But functional programming and what I've learned over the year and a half or 2 years I've been working on this is like F sharp is made for these types of problems. It's perfect. I'm the only word I have actually.
So building trees, parsing stuff, doing it in a kind of a mathematically provable and very tight way. This is what F sharp is meant to be done.
Yeah, and especially like the amount of like how few lines of code you end up with. Like all of IronJS is about 9,500 lines of code, which is not a lot. I mean it's of course very very dense in tiers, but compared to I had one version in C sharp. I think it was around 30,000 lines, which wasn't even complete. I love the language. It's awesome.
Wow, that seems 9,500 lines for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And did it start out that small and stay small, or is it one of those things where it started out big and you started yanking stuff out and you refactored?
No, it's been growing basically as we add more features. I mean, for a while we were hovering around like 6,000 lines for a couple of months. But then we added all like the native like built-in JavaScript objects and stuff, and those take up a lot of like line space because there's a lot of weird stuff. Well, if you know JavaScript, you know what I mean. There's a lot of weird methods and weird stuff you need to account for in the built-in functions and objects. So those took about 2,500-3,000 lines. Oh,
slick. Okay, so then this becomes you parse it into tokens, and then the token turns into an abstract syntax tree. Is that tree structure provided by the DLR, or is that something you have to build?
No, that's a tree structure that's built in F sharp. You could go directly to the DLR like expression tree, but there's I want to do a lot of optimizations and stuff that can't be done on the expression trees. So I first build IronJS's own syntax tree, abstract syntax tree type, so a tree of that, and then I do a lot of optimizations on that, and then I convert it to a DLR tree, and then I ask the DLR to compile it, and then gives me the little dynamically compiled delegate back that you can invoke.
Okay, so there's the interesting part there, the handoff. What services did the DLR provide to you once you'd done the hard work of parsing the language and understanding the language?
I mean, basically, if I back up a bit, what I will have, like, after I've read the file and I parse it into an abstract syntax tree and I'm done with the optimizations, I'll have a syntax tree that is not DLR specific, it's IronJS specific. Then I run it through what is called the compiler internally in IronJS, which is what takes the syntax tree in IronJS form and converts it to this expression tree, which is exactly the same ones that you get with link and stuff in C#. That's basically what the DLR provides for me. So I turn it into these expression objects, which I then call dot compile on the topmost one or the outer one, which turns it into the IL dynamically in a dynamic assembly in .NET 4.0. Gives me like a delegate back
One of the things that people had said would always be difficult for the whole Iron class of languages was the idea that the DLR is ultimately still on top of the CLR, and the CLR likes things compiled. And even though there's things like method site caching and all sorts of optimizations to make things fast, ultimately it's just not structured appropriately for a language that's so dynamic as JavaScript. Is that what is keeping you from being as fast as, like a C#, or as fast as, Google Chrome or something like that? Is it just that the CLR won't let you go that fast, or is it something else?
I mean, we're about 10 times slower than Google Chrome currently. They're about like 10, 12, 13 times slower. And there's gonna be a point where we can't get any faster because, like, the CLR. Because I mean, Like if you have hand-optimized C or C++ code, it will always be faster than the equivalent C# code because of the CLR, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a point when we hit that wall. I think I'm expecting it to be around 3 or 4 times slower than Chrome, sort of what I'm aiming at.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's like we just haven't had time to do enough optimizations to make it that fast. Like all the optimization tricks that Google Chrome uses are not in place in IronJS. So we lose a lot of performance that way. We're never going to be as fast. It's, I'd say, physically impossible since the CLR does more work per instruction than the native code does.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that last month you became faster than IE8, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty mind-blowing. I mean, that must have been... did you know you were close to getting that fast, or did you just test it one day and say, oh, wow, look at that?
Oh, I knew I was going to beat IE8, and I'm like... I've been building prototypes for different types of features and optimizations for like as a side project. Like my private RNJS repository has about 50 branches with different optimizations, optimization tricks and stuff in it. I knew I was going to be faster than IE8 eventually. It was just a matter of time. So what we did was we finished up the 0.2 release. That basically completes the ECMA 3.0 specification support. And then me and John Gitson, who's helping me on this, decided to start optimizing stuff. And just basically, I started implementing the tricks that I already discovered or learned from Chrome and already tried out in one of my development branches. Just porting them over, basically.
I see. So IronJS 0.2, which came out recently, was really more of a correctness release and not an optimization release.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically ECMAScript 3.0 support, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It looks like you've got 5,500 tests with over 30,000 assertions. And are you passing them all?
Let's see here. There's actually about 10,000 tests now. Let's see. I have the wiki somewhere.
Excuse me.
In front of me. Let's see here. We have about 11,000 tests. We're failing about 344 of them currently.
Wow, 11,000 tests and you're failing under 400 of them.
Yeah, about 350. 96.8 pass rate, if that matters. And I think it's about 60,000 assertions or something.
Wow. So you think that someone could totally use, even at 0.2, they could start looking at using this as a scripting language within their existing application. You would feel comfortable with it. It's correct enough.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, if you're after the feature set, in terms of, like, you want a scripting language, if you're not looking so much for speed, 0.2 is perfectly suitable for integrating into your platform of choice. I mean, we're looking to get better. Like, you could easily call, like, JavaScript stuff from .NET, and you can also, like, expose .NET classes and functionality to JavaScript. But we're looking at a better way, we're implementing right now, a better way to get, like, what we call seamless .NET integration, which allows you to basically pass any .NET object into JavaScript and then call it like it was a native JavaScript object or whatever.
See, that was my next question. That seems really interesting. It would be. Do you have any sample applications? It'd be nice to see if someone could kind of bring this down with NuGet, you know, and I could say, you know, file new console application, install package, IronJS, make a couple of .NET objects, throw them into JavaScript space, and start scripting against them with JavaScript directly within, you know, 10 lines of code.
The problem right now, not so much a problem, is basically I haven't had time to build the integration. It's called the DLR binders for the integration against CLR objects.
Mm-hmm.
But once that's in place, it's basically just going to be passed object in and called whatever you want on it, and it'll work flawlessly. There is a way, like if you need to use a 0.2 release and you actually want to pass an object in and call methods on it, it is possible today, but it's a bit annoying. Basically, it requires a bunch of code to do it because you need to expose it as a native JavaScript object instead of a CLR object to JavaScript. So it's a bit annoying. There is an example on how to do it in the wiki on GitHub, but
how large is this project? And do you need help? You know, what would you tell the community? Is it just you and a couple of friends, or is it just you? Who is involved, and how can people help?
Basically, I mean, I've done the bulk work. I'd say about 90% myself, maybe a bit less. In March or February, I think, a guy named John Gitson from the States started submitting patches to it, and after a couple of days, started working together, and he got access and everything, and we've been running the show together up to the 0.2 release, and, well, still are. And basically, it's two of us. If the community wants to help, the best way is just to fork the project on GitHub, make a couple, changes, and send a pull request, and then after, a couple of, good pull requests, we'll just grant you access to the main repo, and you can start hacking away on the master branch.
Very cool. And that really is the way that it should be done these days, with things like Git and things like Mercurial. Just fork it, work on it on your own, do your thing, and then say, hey, look, I did something interesting, and people will check it out.
Yeah, and it's not like we require some major, add completely new feature or something. We just a couple of lines of fixes or a couple of bug fixes here or something, and you'll get access and can start pushing to the main repo. So, that's how John got started on it. I think he generated new unit tests or something, which was exactly what I needed for the moment. And just cool. And we started working together.
That's great. That's great. That's how it should work, I think.
Yeah, I really like the sort of GitHub and what's called Bitbucket and stuff like that. It's sort of like the social network, but for geek programmers, basically. Programmers. I think GitHub is as important for programmers as Facebook is for. I don't want to say normal people, but people who are not programmers, if I put it like that.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing with us. It looks like there's lots of information about IronJS up on ironjs.wordpress.com and charts and graphs. Also at the GitHub repository, they can bring the whole thing down and get it running on their own machines. We'll put all of that together in the show notes, as well as a couple of interesting articles from places like eWeek and InfoQ about IronJS. And folks can probably follow you on Twitter, I assume.
FJ Holmstrom. That's my Twitter handle.
We'll link to that as well. Thanks for the time. This is really interesting. I'm glad that people are still going forward with the DLR and Iron this and that, because I think that there is a need for this stuff, and I hope Microsoft realizes it one day.
Yeah, I agree. The DLR is a great piece of software. It's probably, I said this before, but it's probably the best library I've ever used in my whole life. That's a testament to how freaking good it is.
Very cool. All right, this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.